on Brother Heil's book on justice, principles to have justice, to make decisions, wise decisions. And as God has blessed us and we've grown again, especially in the school, we find out that we need to have principles to live by and principles to make decisions that would be just. And so we've been studying this, but we've gotten away from it. But I want to get back and finish this study. So I want you to take your Bible tonight and turn to 3 John. 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, and then comes Jude and Revelation. But go to 3 John, and we're going to look at this. And tonight I'd like you to look at something that many of you have looked at before. Many of you know about this tonight, but it's not just that you know these things, but like one professor used to say, you need to have them inculcated into the fabric of your being. You need to have them inculcated inside of you. They need to be part of you. And so sometimes repetition is the best thing that you can get. And so tonight, I want to talk to you about the subject of good and evil. Good and evil. And I want, first of all, you look at 3 John, verse 5 and 6. All right, 3 John says, verse 5, beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. Now, he's writing to a man named Gaius, all right? And then look at verse 9. Verse 9, it says, I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds, which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. And then verse 11, beloved, follow not that which is what? Evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. Demetrius hath good report of all men and of the truth itself. Yea, and we also bear record, and ye know that our record is true. I want to talk to you tonight from these three men on good and evil. And I want to say, first of all, as I've said many times before, that all sin, that all evil is sin, but not all sin is evil. All evil is sin, listen, but not all sin is evil. There's a difference between sin and evil, and sin means to miss the mark. So sin means that you might get drunk. That would be a sin. Sin might mean that you fall into fornication or pornography. That would be a sad thing, and you'd have a guilty conscience and feel dirty. It would be a sin in your life. Sin would be to lose your temper, to get angry at somebody, maybe yell at them and say cutting words from them. But just because that's sin doesn't mean it's evil. In fact, all of those things that I just said to you, they are sin. They miss God's mark of how God would have us to be, but they're not evil. But there is such a thing as evil, and that is mentioned here. Now, taking drugs is sin, but it's not evil. But being a drug pusher, oh yeah, that's evil. Being a drug pusher, that's evil. Getting involved in fornication, sin, that would be a horrible thing. But being a pimp is evil. Another word biblically for that is a whoremonger. A whoremonger, that's evil. Gossip or slander is evil. Getting angry, yelling at somebody, that's a sin. Shouldn't do it. But when you quietly, you don't yell at them, you're too nice for that. You whisper to a family member or a friend something about them that you were too chicken and cowardly to tell them to their face. That's evil. You see, I would rather be involved in sin than evil. I'd rather not be involved in either. Amen. The Bible says in 1 John, I write these things unto you that ye sin not. But if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, and it's Jesus Christ, the righteous. He said he wants us to walk in the light as he's in the light, so we can have fellowship one with another. And it says, then the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. We get involved in sin, and you know, we get cleansed when we confess our sin. But listen to me, evil is more serious. Evil is conspiratorial. Evil is conspiratorial. How about Joseph when he was coming to do what his father asked him to do and find out how his brethren were doing? They had a conspiracy to kill him. And then later they sold him to Egypt. How about Jesus, the Sanhedrin? They had a conspiracy at night to get rid of him. They wanted to get rid of him because they didn't want to lose their power. And so they had a kangaroo court. And that was a really bad thing. One time there was a meeting at somebody's house that Brother Joe knew. Brother Joe was just a young Christian at the time. He wasn't even a deacon in the church. He came to the church. He was blessed through the pastor preaching and teaching the word of God. And all of a sudden, a bunch of people got together and they said to Brother Joe and his wife, come on, we got a meeting. We're going to meet about the pastor. He said, oh, we're having a meeting about the pastor. Okay. He went to the meeting. And you know what the meeting was? It was to have roast pastor. It was to say bad things about the pastor. They didn't invite me to that meeting. And so Brother Joe learned early about evil and how evil works. You see, evil is a conspiracy. Listen to me. Evil is a conspiracy where people get together. It might be just two of you or three, or and you talk against somebody doing good. Now, do people that do good, are they sinners? Yeah, every one of us are sinners. But you better be careful that you don't cut down people that are doing God's work. And if you've got something to say, you have the courage to go to that person yourself. And to otherwise keep your mouth shut unless you talk to God silently. And so all sin is not evil, but all evil is sin, and evil is conspiratorial. Evil causes great harm, and evil comes against somebody that is doing good. Now, in Psalm 51, David talked about that. In Psalm 51, verse 4, he says this. Now listen, David said, against thee only have I sinned. Notice that. David said, against thee and thee only have I sinned. But then he goes on to say, and done this evil in thy sight. Now, one of the men tell me, what did he mean by this when he says, against thee only have I sinned? Notice that, for and then done this evil in thy sight. So there's two different things there. He mentions a sin that he did, and then this evil in God's sight. What are the two things? Brother Bob.
Well, he broke God's law, committing adultery.
Yes. That's exactly right. The sin was when he fell into fornication with one of his courageous soldiers' wives and committed fornication with her. That was his sin. But he did evil in that he wanted to cover it up. He didn't want anybody to know about it. And so what he did was he had a plan and he conspired in order to cover it up. First of all, to make Uriah drunk and try to cover it up that way. And then when that didn't work, to have him killed by having the troops withdraw from him. It kind of reminds me of Obama, where he just said to UN, we'll withdraw from Israel. We'll let these devils condemn Israel. We'll let them condemn them for building their settlements on their land. But then he did evil. He had a plan to withdraw from them. And he did it just before he gets out of his sorry administration.
Right.
Now, Jesus didn't like people that did evil. He condemned them. Who were the people in Jesus' day that he constantly condemned? Openly. He used their names. Brother Jose, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. You know why they called them Sadducees? Yeah. Everybody know that? Anybody doesn't know that? All right, I'm not going to say it then. You all know it. Why should I say it? But he condemned them because they were evil. They conspired, you see, to keep their power. They wanted their power. And it amazes me how, you know, Obama's talking about his third term, like we needed that, like a hole in the head. But he's talking about it. And thinking about it. And Hillary was supposed to be his third term. Thank God he didn't get it. And so what I'm saying to you is there is evil there. Now, in David's case, he was a godly man. He knew God. He was a man after God's own heart. But he did this evil because he wanted to cover up his sin. And so that's the worst kind of sin. And so he committed murder. So 34 times good and evil are mentioned in the Bible. And every time they are mentioned together, the word good and evil, the word good always has a beneficiary, somebody that benefits from the good. It is not used of being a good person. It is used of somebody that does something beneficial for somebody else. And so tonight, I want to look at this matter of good and evil, and I want to look at it in the sense of seven facts about good and evil. Fact number one, evil is worse than any other sin. As we said, evil is something that is worse than drinking alcohol. It's serving alcohol to others. By the way, that's why I never have anybody wait in a restaurant where you have to serve alcohol. The Bible says, woe to you that gives drink to somebody else. That's a very evil thing. I think of the Kennedy family. I believe that Joe Kennedy made his money through pushing alcohol, and it was bad for his whole family. And so evil is a bad thing. Evil is worse than any other sin. A Facebook talebearer is worse than someone that gets mad and curses. That's evil. Even Jesus treated people that had fallen into sin in a different way than he treated the Sadducees and the Pharisees. People in the media and the establishment in the Republican and Democratic Party in the last election, they wanted just to keep their power, and so they did evil against people that threatened their power, the insurgent candidates. Why? Because they wanted to keep their power, and so they do evil. And people will do evil in order to keep their power. And so these three men in the Bible, John talks about Gaius, who was the man that this letter was written to, Demetrius, and Diotrephes. Two of these men were good and one was evil. Gaius, Diotrephes, and Demetrius. Can anybody tell me, one of the men tell me, the two men that were good? What were the two good men of those three? Brother Kyle. No, you got one of them right. What were the two good men? Gaius and Demetrius were the good men. The evil guy was Diotrephes. And notice what John said about him. He said that the evil one prated against John with malicious words. And who do you know that's a good person like Demetrius and Gaius that do good things? And who do you know like Diotrephes that uses malicious words and does things against somebody that's doing good? You have both these kinds of people, and you have to decide whose side you're going to be on. Now, here's the counsel to you when it comes to this matter of evil being worse than sin and making a decision what side you're going to be on. Here's what you need to realize. Paul says this in the Bible. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause division and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. That's Romans 16, 17. So what are you supposed to do? You're to mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and to avoid those people. All right. Number two, Beloved, it says in 3 John 11, beloved, follow not that which is evil. So you say, well, there was nothing I could do to stop the evil. Well, maybe there was nothing you could do to stop the evil, but there is something that you can do, and that is you can get away from the evildoer. The Bible says, mark that person and avoid that person. If somebody's in the church and they're doing evil, they ought to be marked biblically and then avoided. If somebody's outside of the church, you just get away from them. And, you know, the Bible says people go from house to house speaking the things that they ought not. And do you know it talks about women there? Especially that must be a problem with women. You say, well, how do women go today house to house? Now, years ago when I preached on this, I'd say, telephone, tell a woman, you know, get on the telephone. And that's how you do it. But today it's more than a telephone. Today it's what you call Facebook or something like that. And you say, well, what do I do? When all this evil is out there, what do? You defriend and you get away from it. You defriend and you get away from it. And I determined a long time ago that the man that's doing the most good is going to have the most evil said about him. Jesus did a lot of good, and think of all the evil that Jesus had. Yeah, they said he's a child of fornication. His mother fornicated. No, she didn't. He was virgin born. They said he himself fornicated with Mary Magdalene. No, he didn't. He was a holy man of God. And so, you know, evil will go after good. And so you have to make a decision that evil is the worst kind of sin. Jesus hung around with fornicators so he could win them, but he didn't hang around much with evil people. And no way, he didn't hang around with skunks. And John says, you know, you stay away from evil. Paul says you mark them and avoid them that are evil. And don't get involved in it yourself, because God will judge people that are involved in evil doing. And so hang with people like Gaius and Demetrius and avoid people like Diotrephes, like the plague. Diotrephes even spoke against the Apostle John. Can you imagine that? He would not listen to him. Why? Because he was an evil individual. The Bible says that a heretic after the first and second admonition avoid. You say, what's a heretic? It's that tick that gets in your hair. You ever had those? No. A heretic is somebody that has their own opinion contrary to the Word of God, but they're stuck on it and they can't be convinced otherwise. And you go to them and you say, I'll just keep talking to them and talking to them. And they keep maliciously prating against those that are doing good. No, you avoid those people after the first and second admonition. Either you ask them to leave the church, or if they don't, you deal with it. So I'm just saying, don't let yourself get involved with evil. It will kill the good in your life and it will poison the well of your life. All right, that's number one. Number two. And we need to understand this. Number two, evil comes because of good. Evil comes because of good. So evil's worse than sin, but than any normal sin. But evil comes because of good. And so if somebody is doing good, you can mark it down. Evil is going to come against them. Have you noticed in the media, Donald Trump said, I'm going to build the wall. Donald Trump said, I'm going to lower taxes. Donald Trump said, I'm going to let pastors in churches not be harassed. They can have the freedom of speech. And Donald Trump said, I'm going to stand against abortion and appoint judges that will go by the Constitution. And all of that. And you know what the media does? It just does evil. It just wants to pull down and attack all the time. And so that is evil, and our media is into that. Now, you show me a church that's winning souls. You show me a church that's running buses. You show me a church that's getting people saved and changing lives, and they don't have time for a lot of gossip. They don't have time to go have coffee and smoke cigarettes and go to somebody's house and gossip. But I've seen the underbelly of churches, and there always is going to be a core of people. They have time to drink coffee, smoke cigarettes, and talk trash. And that's a sad thing. If you're doing that, count me out. You can have all the meetings. Brother Heil said, you can have all the meetings about my preaching you want and my ministry you want. I won't be there. Amen.
Amen.
I am going to be serving the Lord. And so evil comes because of good. In fact, it says in Romans 7:21, I find then a law that when I would do good, notice that, when I would do good, what's present with me? Evil. It always attacks you when you're doing good. I remember in college, I was amazed. I got around Dr. Charles Ware. I began to be a spirit-filled Christian. Before that, I was hung up on my own flesh. I was given into my flesh. I was interested in things that were of the flesh, even though I was a Christian, loved the Lord, but I had more of a fleshly inroad in my life. But when I got spirit filled and I started serving the Lord and I got outside of myself, man, boom, evil hit me. The devil attacked us. And we had people lying about us, and Dr. Ware and the young men in the church, it was evil. And I got introduced to it for the first time. And I found out the more good I do, evil doesn't go away. You know why? Because you know who the author of evil is? It's Satan. He hates it when somebody does good. And so he will attack it. And sometimes a person can be doing good and then they go over to the dark side. You know the dark side. They go over to Satan. Why? Look at King Saul. He was raised up, filled with the Holy Spirit. He started killing Amalekites for God. And then King Saul disobeyed God. And God said, I'm going to take your power away. And he wanted his power. He didn't want to lose his power. Not with God. It was with man. He wanted to keep that position and that power. And he was more concerned about, listen, you need to be more concerned about being in God's will than any position or power that you have. Don't get into politics in the church. It'll destroy you. And that's what happened to Saul. And for the rest of his life, he was politicking. And he was trying to maintain his position. And he looked at a man of God with evil eyes. He conspired against David for the rest of his life and spent the rest of his life trying to, you know, there are people, they're just spending their whole life trying to bring down the man of God. Good luck. You might give the man of God some grief. I mean, I'm sure Saul gave David some grief, but it all worked together for good in David's life. And it blessed his life. And so, listen, when you do good, evil will come against you. And you need to realize that evil is worse than sin. And when you do good, evil will come against you. Number three, good always overcomes evil. Good always overcomes evil. Now, good is the cause of evil, and it's the cure for evil. All right? We've had big days at this church. People have united together to do something for God. And listen, I hope you want to do good. My theme for this year is, you know, is be clean and stay clean, but trust in the Lord and do good. I hope you want to do good this year. And the fruit of the Spirit is goodness. And so you're going to benefit other people. You're going to benefit them with the gospel. You're going to benefit them with the word of God. Well, when we have a big day and we're trying to reach out and do good, what happens? Man, evil comes. Evil comes right after that. Now, what do? I've had evil hit me right after I've done good. And you know what I usually do? Somebody tells me some evil, and I'm like, gross. I go out and go soul winning. I spread the good news. I do something good. Because, you see, you're not going to win evil by win against evil by organizing a bunch of people and then fighting fire with fire and saying, oh man, we got to go after this evildoer out there. That is so stupid. That is so useless. You keep on doing good, and that is the cure for evil. In fact, the Bible says in 1 Peter 3:9, it says, not rendering evil for evil. Paul said in Thessalonians, see that none render evil for evil unto any man. I remember Brother Hiles, there was an editor of a newspaper, and he put out lies about Brother Hiles all over the country, evil things. And I remember that later on, this man needed money. And Brother Hiles supported him every month and sent money to that man. But I believe he sent it anonymously to that man every month. You see, you overcome evil with good, not by becoming evil yourself. Romans 12, 21 says, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. And Satan wants to get you sidetracked by evil. And sometimes men of God, they've gotten bitter, they've gotten angry. They've said, what did I do to deserve that? What did I do? And they go fight against it. Listen, you ought to be like George Whitefield. When they did lies against George Whitefield and they said evil things about George Whitefield, the Bible says George Whitefield said, if they knew my heart and my mind, I deserve more than I'm getting. I deserve hell. And he had that kind of attitude. He wasn't fighting for his reputation. I remember years ago, a man, a deacon in our church, he came to me. Remember that, Brother Joe? He came to me and he said, if you continue to do what you do, you're going to further damage your already damaged reputation. And what he was telling me, I was a young pastor and my reputation was getting to be mud, I'll admit it, in the community. And he was telling me, if you keep preaching like you're preaching and you keep doing like you're doing, in other words, he's saying, shut up, stop preaching like you're preaching. It didn't do him any good. You can see it, I got worse. And I got rid of the perversion that I had, and I got a King James Bible, I got worse. And I started hanging around with more fundamental men. But anyway, that's usually what I do. You know, I got worse. But he said, you keep this up. And he said, you're going to further damage your already damaged reputation. And what he was saying to me is, it's going to get really bad for you. But you know what? That guy's not in this community anymore. He's not even here. Psalm 37, I saw the wicked growing like a green bay tree, and he's gone. He's gone. I've seen a lot of people. They're gone. God gave me scripture in Joshua 1. No man shall be able to stand against thee all the days of thy life. So I'm simply saying, you don't have to overcome evil by getting evil yourself. Overcome evil with good. Trust in the Lord. Trust in his promises. Trust in God. Hang your reputation. I hang my reputation. I say, leave it there. I'm going to serve God. And listen, if you fear man, it brings a snare. But whoso trusts in the Lord, that person's going to be safe. Because Satan will bribe you and he'll say, if you serve God, I'm going to tear up your reputation. And you say, I'll just trust God. He's able to take care of my reputation in his time. Number four, more good that you do. You say, oh, I'm going to overcome evil with good. It works, but the more good you do, what's going to happen? The more good you do, what's going to happen? One of the men. Do you know, Jordan? More good you do, what's going to happen? Yes, Jose? Yeah. The more good you do, it's going to cause more evil. So you keep doing more good, more evil's going to come against you. I remember Brother Hiles, he'd do good, evil hit him. He'd overcome it. It would be in the rearview mirror. He'd be going forward. The church would be growing. God would be blessing. And then more evil would hit him. And then he'd do more good, and more evil would hit him. It happened right to the end of his life. Even after he died. Sometimes you can get depressed about that and say, well, that's the thanks I get. Let me tell you, the thanks you get is at the judgment seat of Christ. It's at the judge. If you're doing it for reputation, forget it. I've looked at great men of God, men that I respect, and they've had to pay the price. It's going to happen. I've looked at them. Look at the apostles. They paid the price. Look at the early church, what they accused the early church of. When Nero put them on in his gardens and would wrap them up in wax and burn the Christians in the gardens as his candles lighting up his gardens for his party. And they accused the Christians of doing terrible things. And their name was mud in the empire. So more good will cause more evil. Number five, doing good will always overcome evil, but evil cannot overcome doing good. As long as you keep trusting the Lord and doing good, I don't care how bad the evil gets, it will never defeat you. I remember I preached a message on Acts where in Jerusalem they were preaching the gospel. People were getting saved, and the rulers did evil. They threatened them. They said, don't preach or we'll arrest you. Don't preach or you'll be punished. And they did arrest them, and they wouldn't stop preaching. And Peter stood right up to him. He said, you decide whether this is of God or of man. He said, but we're going to obey God. We're not going to obey man. And I preached a message called, You'll Not Overthrow God's Flow. You can't overthrow a person that's flowing with God. And so just stay with the good. Doing good will always overcome evil. And I checked it out. The devil is with evil. God is with good. And between the God and the devil, the last page of the Bible says, who wins? God wins. Amen. He's going to beat the devil. So just stay on God's side. You'll be fine. And then next, evil can be the motivation for doing good. You say, what are you talking about, Pastor? Well, when evil attacks me, I look at my life, I say, why is that happening? Is there something in my life, God, you're dealing with? And then when I see that it's because of doing good, I say, wait a minute, now that motivates me to do more good. You see, Joseph was attacked by his brothers, put in a pit. He was going to be killed, but they sold him to the Egyptians. They got rid of him. They did evil to him. Why? Because he was doing good. And here's what Joseph said toward the end of his life. He said to his brothers, fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive. Genesis 50, verse 19 and 20. And so I'm just saying, realize that when the devil is attacking you with evil, when people are attacking you, it's because you're a threat to Satan many times. See, Satan does not attack somebody that's not a threat to him. You're a threat to the devil. Remember the sons of Siva, when they tried to cast the devils out of this man, and the devil said, they said, by the name of Jesus that the apostle Paul preaches, get out of this guy, that the devils. And the devil said to these guys, they grabbed them, they were running out of the house, they stripped the clothes off them, and they were naked and bloody. And the devil said to the sons of Siva, Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you? Who are you? Are you giving the devil any trouble? You may give trouble. You may be trouble, but are you giving the devil any trouble? And so you need to take that as an encouragement that evil can be a motivation to you to do more good. And that's the best way to hit the devil back. Number seven, evil can make you or break you. It is going to be up to you. And you know what? Sometimes a person that's serving God in this church will get hit with evil. And they have to make a choice. And you know what? Sometimes they make the choice, I'm going to lick my wounds. I'm going to cut back on what I'm doing. I'm going to tone it down. I don't want to be a target. I understand that. That's a very human emotion. But it's not the right decision. You have to decide tonight. I'm going to tell you that when God made the armor of God in Ephesians chapter 6, he says you need to stand, and having done all to stand, you stand up to the devil, you face the devil, you do not back down to the devil. And he did not make any armor for the back. Oh, I'm just going to run away. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. I remember Brother Hiles in the thickest part of the battle. I never forgot it. He said, I'm not running anywhere. I'm standing right here. And he did, and God blessed. You need to stand so that you can go forward again. I personally believe that we in this church have had opposition, and opposition follows blessing, but opposition also precedes further blessing. But you've got to be able to stand. And so let me say this, evil can make you or break you, it's up to you. Now listen, and I'll finish with this. The Bible says that Paul, in 2 Corinthians 10, was buffeted by a messenger of Satan. He had a thorn package, and it was a messenger of Satan to buffet him. That means to punch him, just keep punching him. He prayed, God, get rid of this messenger of Satan. And God said, I'm not going to do it. He said, I'm going to let that messenger of Satan punch you. And that's what evil is. It's a messenger of Satan to buffet. But he said, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. Nothing can weaken you like the devil hitting you, believe me. It's just so, you're defenseless. And it's so wicked. The devil is so bad, he's so wicked. But in your weakness, you trust in the Lord and you do good, and those blows by the devil will not stop you, and you will conquer. Evil can make you or break you. It's up to you. Evil can be a motivation for doing good. Doing good will always overcome evil, but evil can never overcome good. More good will cause more evil. Good overcomes evil. And number two, evil comes because you're doing good. And number one, evil is worse than any other sin. Avoid evildoers. Stay away from them. Defriend them. Stay away from them. The decision is yours. I want to be on the winning team. Let's bow for prayer. Every head bowed tonight and every eye closed. We've been talking about good and evil. Demetrius was good.